I want to share with you for a minute here about what you have. Just came up in me as we were worshiping. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We sing for God's kingdom to come. We sing for heaven to come down. But I want you to know, heaven already came down. When did heaven come down? No. When did heaven come? When he created the planet and put man in it, it was heaven on earth. It wasn't a trick question. You have to think. When did heaven come down? He gave Adam dominion. He gave him provision. He gave him everything in this planet. And he wanted this to be a replication of heaven on planet Earth. That's when heaven came down. So heaven's already here. Now, what about the kingdom? When did the kingdom come? Okay, nobody wants to answer now because they kind of messed up on the first one. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Where is the kingdom? Do we need to ask Jesus to send me the kingdom? I understand what the songwriter, I understand what they are trying to get to us, and it's all good. But I want you to know that the kingdom of God is inside you. You don't have to go to God and say, "God, send your kingdom down." If you do, that would show me you don't know that it's here, which tells me you don't know how to operate in it, which is the major problem of the body of Christ today. We need to know who we are in Christ. So, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, you know, those religious folks, thought they had it all figured out, when the kingdom of God would come. And he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation. You're looking for me to set up a kingdom here on the earth, and I'm telling you, that's not what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is coming." He says, "It doesn't come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here or see there.'" Verse 21 of Luke 17. "For indeed the kingdom of God is" where? "Is within you." If you're born again, God's kingdom is inside of you. God's kingdom is his way of doing things. God's kingdom is his system or his operating system, if you will. You're familiar with computers and you have an operating system. God's kingdom inside you is his operating system on how we are to live, how we are to operate. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," his right way of being and doing. There's a right way, there's a wrong way. If there's a right way, there's a wrong. The implication is there's a wrong way. We know that to be true by Deuteronomy chapter 30. "I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse." And then in case we couldn't get the right answer, he gave it to us. I'm so thankful that he gives me the right answer. He says, "Choose what?" Life. Choose what? Life. Are you choosing life? Praise God. We choose life on Sundays? Every day. Every night. We choose. We choose to build up walls that we sing about and say, "God, break the walls down." And then we leave church and we build them right back up again. Hopefully not. Thank you. But if we're still crying for him to break them down, we've built them up again. And so we're really in control of whether we have and enjoy life or not. Jesus said, I came. John 10:10. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't participate in that stuff. But I've come that you might have abundant life, or have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. We should be the happiest people on the planet. I'm happy. Amidst all the bad news that you see on the television and what's going on in the world, I'm still happy because I know who I am in Christ. If God be for me, who could be against me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God is inside of us. We've been given the name that's above every name. It's above cancer. It's above leukemia. It's above heart disease. It's above poverty. Thank you. It's above poverty. Come on. It's above everything. It's above everything. But we have to choose, don't we? And it's a good choice. It's a good choice. We win. We win. I'm so glad that I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed so I can go somewhere to be a blessing to someone. The blessings of God are coming on me and overtaking me. They should be chasing us down. They should be chasing us down, but you need to expect them. Brought a message one time on, what are you expecting? You'll get what you expect. If you don't expect much, that's what you'll get. You don't expect to get healed? Don't worry. No pressure to do it. But if you expect to, that cancer's got to leave. I don't care if they've given you 3 hours to live. If you've still got breath, if you're still breathing, then it's not too late. It's just too late for the doctors to do what they wanted to do. Come on. Come on. The kingdom of God is inside of us. What are we doing with it? Because when we ask him to come and to fill us with his spirit, it should be that we have intentional purpose on giving it away. It's not just so we can feel good and sometimes fall over in church and soak. Now, I'm not against soaking in the presence of God. I'm not against that. But it's to fill you up. It's to build you up so that now you can be of service to the Spirit of God, to God the Father, and show the world that God is alive. See, we need to show the world, not just tell the world. Don't just tell them about Jesus. Show them that Jesus is alive. Show them that Jesus is real. Pray, bless them. Pray for them. Minister healing to them. Bring deliverance to them. Come on. Heaven come down. It's already come. We have to choose to enjoy it. We have to choose to embrace it and you know, I feel the Lord preparing me for, it'd probably be after the first of the year, to talk about purpose. To talk about purpose. On purpose for a purpose. On purpose for a purpose. Why are we here? We're here on purpose. Do you know that it's not your parents. How do I want to say? I want to say this right. You came through your parents. You just came through them. But they don't know what your purpose is. Only your creator. Only the creator of anything. If you create a robot, only you know what that purpose is. If you create something, only you, the creator, knows what the purpose of something is. God created you. You weren't illegitimate. You weren't by mistake. God formed you in your mother's womb before you even showed up. He had purpose for you before you even showed up in your mother's womb. Your mother and father were used as vehicles to get you through them, but they don't know what your purpose is. That's why it's not a good idea for parents to try to tell their kids what they're supposed to do in life, because they don't know. They didn't create. You see, parents don't create children. We kind of think that because that's the natural biological way that it happens. But God says, I formed you. I was thinking about you. He was thinking about you before your parents were born and had plans and purposes for your life. Already had you wired. Now, as we look around, there's no two people alike. No two fingerprints the same. That's an act of God. That's a work of God. But he created us for purpose on purpose. That's just a little preview of where we may go in January or sometime. I'm still getting it off the press. So as I'll keep you updated. Amen.
Well, open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy and chapter 1. And when you get there, say, I'm there. Here are some pages, a few of them, so we'll wait just a second. And we're going to key in on verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Remember a few weeks back, probably a month and a half ago, I had you receive 3x5 cards, and then I asked you, why did God create man? And everybody put their answers down, and pretty much all of them agreed with what I said, but that's not what the Lord showed me. He said that he created us because he willed to. He's the creator. And then it was for his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Here's another scripture that bears witness of that. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. How many know that if God has a purpose, that it would be for a pleasure for him? As we look at the account of creation in Genesis, he said, He called something into being, and then he said it was good. Everything God did, he said it was good. It pleased him. And then after man, he went and said, he looked at everything he did after man had been created as well. And he said, and he looked at everything and said, it was very good. It pleased God the way he set things up. And so he has saved us. He's called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Before time began. God had it figured out. God had you figured out before you showed up. Some of us are still trying to figure ourselves out. But God had you all figured out. He's got detailed blueprints. Maybe he didn't write them down, but they're in his mind, and he's got a big mind. They're intricate. He knows exactly how you're wired because he wired you. He's your creator. And so today I want to talk to you about your calling. We should be living worthy of the calling that God's got on our lives. He says right here in 1 Timothy that 2 Timothy chapter 1, thank you. He called us with a holy calling. Amen. Turn over to Colossians with me. Just back up a little bit to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians and the first chapter. Or I'm just going to start at the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Find it interesting that he says to the saints and the faithful brethren. That would lead me to believe that there is something other than faithful brethren. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that over in Romans that it's required that a servant be found faithful. Jesus had to go through some testing and some training up before God set him out in his ministry. For 30 years, Jesus himself was in training. Remember that time when he was Mary and Joseph, they had left and they were like a day away and they realized, where's the boy? And so they went all the way back to, and he's at the temple. And, you know, Mary's kind of scolding him, boy, you know, you need to stay with us. And he said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? He had revelation in his spirit at that point that God had called him. He was different. I'm sure his brothers, his family told him he was different. They didn't all just support him. But anyway, we give thanks to God and to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. So interesting that they got a report back that these people really are lovers. They're really doing what the Lord says. Love for all the saints. Remember, Jesus said that the world's going to know us by our love for one another. He was seeing that in these Christians here. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in the world and is bringing forth fruit. The gospel will bring forth fruit. Say that. The gospel will bring forth fruit. It's designed to. When we cooperate with the gospel, the good news, we will bring forth fruit. That's important. It is also, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew of the grace of God in truth. Now drop down to verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's just say that again. To ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of the will of God for your life has been known by God forever, but we need to find out what it is. We need to find out what the will of God is for our life. As I said earlier, in reference to your parents, it's not their job to tell you what the will of God is for your life. It's up to God to reveal it to you, but you need to seek him if you're going to find it. You're going to have to seek of him, inquire of the Lord, and then he will show you what it is. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and all spiritual understanding. You'll understand it in your spirit, man. Everything of God starts on the inside. Healing starts on the inside. Prosperity starts in the inside. And then it comes out. You have to agree with God's word and come into agreement with his will for your life before it can be manifest. I had to say yes when he called me to pastor a church. None of us would be here today if I'd have said no. Do you know if Mary hadn't said yes when the angel came down and said that I've come with news from God and you're special, Mary, and you're going to be with child and God's going to overshadow you, she could have said, you are crazy. And she could have disagreed with him and God would have had to find somebody else. Like I said last week, could have been Martha. Look out. But it wasn't. She agreed with it, and so she conceived because of her agreement with the will of God. You have to agree with the will of God. And that's what he's saying here, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the wisdom of God is to show you how to handle and how you to use the understanding or the knowledge of God. The wisdom is the showing you how to, because God knows how to do it better than we know how to do it. And it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always make sense. I don't know if I shared with a couple people. I might have shared with Scott, this Labor of Love project. And, we're coming along really well, and we'll be talking to you. We could use some more help doing some things. So if you want to pitch in and help, you're going to be blessed for it, because that's what God showed me. It's a Labor of Love project to get people's labor involved so I can bless them and show them how the kingdom operates. So we want to put appliances in, and a friend of Steve's blessed us with a nice convection oven, stainless steel. So now I'm thinking, okay, we got that. We got to stick with stainless steel. And Black Friday deals were like crazy. Prices come down, and so Home Depot and Lowe's and the other places, there, some of them are holding them till the 30th of November. And so I, in the busyness of everything, I didn't get a chance, and now it's November 30th. So I didn't even feel good that day. And I had my grandson and my granddaughter with me, and I had to drive to Home Depot. And so I did. And I went there to buy a refrigerator, and that's 40% off. And so I get there, and I'm pushing them in the cart, and we get up there by the refrigerators, and I saw the one. I had looked at it before, and something inside of me just said, I'm not supposed to get it today. I'm thinking, but I just drove all the way down here to get it with two little kids. It just doesn't make sense. But I just had this feeling in my spirit that I wasn't supposed to purchase it. So I left, drove home with nothing. I had to be there the next day that I needed to get something. I don't remember what it was. And that same refrigerator. Oh, I went and got a heater or something. And I just was prompted to drive that cart way up to the back of the store where the appliances are. I don't know why. Well, I know now why. I'm driving by, and that refrigerator that was 40% off, they're taking another $100 off the next day. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, I think, do I get it? He said, yeah, I want you to get it now. So I go and tell the lady, and she says, yeah, she's scratching her head. She says, I've never seen the day after what kind of deal? A Black Friday deal that they take another $100 off. She says, that's a good deal. I said, well, I think I'll take one. And they had two left. The one on the floor, she says, I have one left in a box for you. I don't know, but it didn't make sense that I didn't buy it at 40% off. That was a great deal. But I get another $100 off when I went back the next day. I mean, this is the way we should live. We should expect to. I'm not going to share this testimony. Barbara and Steve Arbo shared a testimony that just blow your socks off that happened to them this past week or a week ago. And I'm not going to share it. I'll let them share it because it's their testimony. But it's a good one. It makes no sense in the natural how this would work, but it did for them. Because they just said, Lord, we have need of this, but we don't know how we're going to get it. We don't have the money. You don't always have to have the money. God can just bring things to you. And they did. Your truck's coming. But I said that to your wife this morning, and she says, we don't want a truck. We want a car. I know you want a truck, sir. So I told her, I said, we're going to have to talk. I got to straighten out where my faith is going. Because I'm believing for a truck to come. Maybe we just need a truck and a car, a his and a hers. Come on. That's happening. That's happening. All right. So it's 11:30, and I was supposed to be done by 11:30. So we're going to take up, I don't even know if we'll take up next week. Do we have some Christmas thing going on next week, or is that Christmas dinner? Well, anyway, I'll just give you a sneak preview about what the Lord, I woke up in the night, and he gave me a cool illustration to do with tennis rackets. And so you'll have to come back if you want to hear what it is. And he even told me to bring a tennis ball. So, yes. You were going to catch it? Hold on. Anyway, yeah, you come back because I think it was pretty cool. I played tennis years ago, and man, I'm just awake in the night. It's like, Lord, he just wakes me up at 3 to 4 o'clock and gives me these, sometimes they're funny things, but you know what? He can talk to me any way he wants to. He's my creator, and I just yield myself over to him, and I believe it'll bless somebody. I believe it'll bless more than one person and help you to get an understanding because we see with pictures. I'm going to just leave it with that. We go through life seeing pictures. If I were to ask you to give me directions to your house, you would begin to reenact. All right, you from here. You know, go out here, turn right, go down here, turn left, whatever. You'd give me directions all the way. You'd be seeing it in your mind. And God uses our mind. He uses our imagination. And it's very powerful. And it can be used for his good. It can be used for the glory of God. That's why he gave it to us. Amen. Well, you all come back next week and we'll continue. Amen. Stand with me. We're just going to close in prayer. Father, we give you thanks. I thank you for these dear saints that have come out today. And Father, before we leave here today, I just invoke a blessing on each one. I just invoke a blessing from heaven into their life. Father, I pray that the things they've been desiring for would begin to show up. Healing would begin to manifest right now in the name of Jesus. Depression and oppression would just fall off people right now. That anxiety would leave in Jesus' name. I speak health and wholeness over everybody under the sound of my voice. I release the power of God and I command the satanic spirits to loose those people. Those spirits of infirmity, get out of these people, these precious people in Jesus' name. And so I release the healing power of God into their bodies, into their minds. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just comfort each one here today. I release the peace of God into each one's mind, into their wills, and into their emotions, Father. I pray that their wills would come into alignment with your will. As we leave here today, Father, I ask that in the next 7 days before next Sunday, you'd bring people into every one of our lives that we could speak of the goodness of God, that we could minister to, that we could bless, that we could help, that we could show of your love during this Christmas time. Father, give us all opportunities. I know that they're there. Father, help us to see them and not miss them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. Enjoy the day.